90% of Americans and 95% of Christians say that they celebrate Christmas, according to the Pew Research survey that was done, updated in 2017. They've done it for the past several years. So you have the vast majority of Americans, 90%, and then 95%, and I don't know about the other 5% of Christians that don't celebrate it, but, you know, I can understand why they may not. Those 5%, I'm closely tied to that 5% myself with all the commercialism that is in Christmas and the rest of it, but I do celebrate Christmas. But most everybody celebrates it here in the United States. However, these figures have generally held steady in recent years. The role of religion now in Christmas celebrations appears to be declining. So although those numbers of people that say they celebrate it are steady, it's declining as far as the people that say that it's a religious holiday. Today, 46% of Americans say that they celebrate Christmas as primarily a religious, not a cultural holiday. That's down from 51% that when the survey was done in 2013. So we're on the downward slope, as you can see. We go from 51%, over half of the nation says it's religious. Now we're down at 46%. Millennials, less likely than any other adults to say that they celebrate Christmas in a religious way. A majority of U.S. adults, 56%, also say religious aspects of Christmas are emphasized less in American society today than in the past, though relatively few are bothered by that trend. So most Americans admit, yes, in America, it's not really that much religion involved in Christianity, and they're not really bothered by the fact that Christianity is being stripped from this holiday. I find that striking, that for 1,700 years of church history, we have set aside and went through great lengths to pick this time period that we're going to celebrate Christ, and all of those other pagan rituals and stuff were changed because we wanted to celebrate Christ's birth. It was all done specifically to put a time to celebrate the birth of Christ. Not anything else. And yet now, it seems that we're reverting back to taking Christ out of this. And I would say that's startling that people are celebrating this, and they still say, I celebrate Christmas now. These 90% of people, when you ask them, are you celebrating Christmas? Now, you know, they didn't say the holidays. They said yes, okay? Second thing is, when you go to the store, they ask this question, which greeting do Americans prefer, Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Well, I think most people in here, you would prefer somebody to say Merry Christmas, you know, to you, right? For some, this can be a sensitive question, but an increasing number of Americans do not seem to have strong feelings either way. About half of Americans, 52%, now say it doesn't matter how stores greet their customers over the holidays, which is up from 46% in 2012. So in 2012, 46% of the people said, I don't really care what they say, Happy Holidays, Merry Christmas, doesn't matter. Now that number has increased to 52% of people that say, doesn't matter. About a third, 32%, choose Merry Christmas, and that's down from 42% who said that 5 years ago. So the graph, and I got it in your notes, it shows those stats that I just gave you. We're going up, and it doesn't matter, and we're going down for Merry Christmas. Seems like we're losing the battle, isn't it? If you look down at the bottom, you got 15% now. Happy Holidays or Seasons Greetings, that's up from 12%. You feel like a winner? I kind of feel like I did yesterday when I read these stats. When that football game. Doesn't feel like a winner. So you've got 90% of people say they celebrate it. A majority of folks are saying that they really are not thinking that it's, almost a majority of people are really not saying it's something religious. And then you have people say, I don't really care what people call it. Is it Merry Christmas? Is it Happy Holidays? Why is that a debate, whether we say Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays? Why do we get upset, or why do some people get upset if somebody says Happy Holidays rather than saying Merry Christmas?
Try to remove the
Daniel says, is trying to remove Christ. Because you see that as a sign, right, of people trying to strip away the religious aspect of Christmas and make it more of a cultural holiday, correct? So that's why that, those stats are important. The third thing is holiday displays on government property, which prompt annual scrutiny, are another sometimes controversial aspect of Christmas. They ask Americans if Christian symbols, such as the nativity scene, should be allowed on government property, and if so, whether they should be allowed by themselves or only if accompanied by symbols from other faiths. A growing share says religious displays should not be allowed on government property under any circumstance, okay? 26%, which is up from 20% 3 years ago. So 26% say there should be no symbols of religion or anything on government properties at all. At the same time, a declining share say that Christian symbols should be allowed on government property, even if they are accompanied by symbols from other religions. 37% today, down from 44% in 2014. Roughly 29% say displays should be allowed if they are accompanied by other religious symbols like Hanukkah candles, a share that has held relatively steady in recent years. So, again, you see some differences in 2014 and 2017 about what should or should not be allowed. Those stats also are not going in our favor. You get that point too? Okay. The growing population is saying you should not have that. Now, the fourth thing is Americans have long argued whether nativity scenes and other religious holiday displays on public property violate the Establishment Clause of the U.S. Constitution's First Amendment. So they have a legal battle about this. They're saying that if you put those symbols on public property, you're violating the Constitution of the United States by doing that. That's an important debate, whether or not we're breaking the law by allowing a nativity scene outside of a courtroom, a courthouse, I should say, or any other type of public property that is out there. The Supreme Court handed down two landmark rulings that allowed for displays of Christmas scenes, Hanukkah menorahs, and other religious holiday symbols on public property, so long as they do not actively endorse or promote a particular religion or religion in general. Now, I put this bold print in your notes. In practice, religious symbols that are a part of larger secular holiday displays containing, say, Christmas tree, Santa Claus, and reindeer, have a much better chance of surviving a court challenge than those displays that are solely or more overtly religious. So, you can have an angel and a nativity scene as long as you got Santa Claus and the reindeer and the sled and the Christmas tree beside it. And you probably won't have much problem in the court. You put a Christmas tree even now in the Capitol Rotunda in Atlanta, and that people go up in arms. You put a Christmas, and a Christmas tree ain't even a symbol of Christianity. We made it so in 1,000 years or so, but it's not a cross. But they're up in arms about that. We must be a chameleon inside. We can't possibly stand out, or we'll be taken to court for celebrating our own holiday. 1,700 years worth of history for that. Number five is the most striking. Most Americans believe that elements of the biblical Christmas story reflects actual historical events, although the percentage expressing this view has dropped noticeably in recent years. So, most Americans now believe that what we're celebrating, and it's got biblical elements up there, that these things are actual true history, but it's dropping. 66% of people say Jesus was born to a virgin, compared with 73% who said this in 2014. What a drop. From 73% to 66%, those people there are saying, no, he was not born of a virgin, and the ones that dropped anyway. 75% believe that he was laid in a manger. That's down from 81%. Similarly, the sheriffs who say they believe the wise men guided by a star brought Jesus gifts, and that an angel appeared to shepherds to announce the birth, also have declined. A slim majority of U.S. adults, 57%, believe that all four of these actually happened. So only 57% of Americans believe all four of those things actually took place. And that percentage was 65% 3 years ago. Belief in these events have declined not only among people with no religious affiliation, but among Christians as well. So even Christians are saying, I don't know about that star. I don't know about that virgin birth thing. Overall, about 1 in 5 Americans, 19%, now say none of these things actually happened. Yet everybody's celebrating it, aren't they? Everybody's buying Christmas presents. We're doing such a good job in the church, aren't we? Let's entertain the death out of people and get people all excited in our church. Let's make sure we have we dress up in our finest and we have candlelit services. And let's make sure, with all these statistics, let's make sure that every child has more toys than they ought to have during this time, because that's really going to turn the tide of these statistics here, isn't it? I'm just presenting facts to you that one of the most important holidays that we've set aside, is Christmas one of the most important holidays that we've set aside? I mean, maybe it's not. But I feel like we put it up there. And we can't even get half the country, half of America. Now, if we looked at the world, these numbers would be even worse. But half the American society to agree with us that this is about Jesus Christ and the birth. Folks, we got to change that. We got to do something about it. We've actually got to put, you can put back up there on the thing what the title of this message is about today, Reclaiming Christmas. You know, you say it's all the way. We got to put Christ back into Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. I see Facebook posts of Santa Claus bowing down to the manger, you know, of Christ, saying that even Santa Claus bows down and all of it. Why is it in the United States of America, and all of these people say they celebrate it, 95% of Christians and 90% of all Americans celebrate Christmas, yet we have these poor statistics like this about the reality of what we're celebrating and why it really is important? How did that happen?
Not reading the Bible.
Mr. Dennis Floyd back here says, not reading the Bible. Come on, Nikki, I love that. Not teaching your children the right stuff about Christmas. Woo! I'm treading in deep water now. What else?
Let them tell them they ain't going to church.
Let the children say you're not going to church, so people not so decline in church attendance maybe. How did we let it happen?
Not speaking up.
Not speaking up, Durley says. I still hadn't heard the one that I want the most. Sir? The diminishing of exposure to religion within our public society, yeah.
You've been extremely passive.
Ah, thank you, Daniel. You're channeling me here. Extremely passive. Oh, what's that mean? Can you? Oh, we got some smart people in this room allowing people to tell us what it means, allowing them to define what our holiday means. We're being passive. We just take it. But not only that, we are complicit in it.
Yep.
Sir?
We participate in it.
We go along with it. We just join right in. We're not leaders. We're followers. We got people stealing from us the meaning of our holiday, and we sit back and cry about it. Oh, I wish we could say Merry Christmas. I mean, yeah, in the school system. They didn't take prayer out of schools. They just took the people leading you in prayer. You can still pray. Joshua said, hey, his teacher has a calendar, has a Bible verse on it. And he tells me that it's his job. Right, if you wake up, son, you better hear what I'm saying. But sit up, boy, while I'm sitting here. But you change it every day. Is that what you're saying? And in the car yesterday, Josh, I said, well, do you read that Bible verse out? He said, no, you go to jail for doing that. No, you will not. If the teacher read it to everybody, then they may not go to jail, but they may lose their job. But I took my Bible with me when I was in high school, had it on my desk, and during announcements and quiet time, I had it open and I'd be reading in it. And a girl who was, and I won't call her name, but I still know her to this day, she was sitting in front of me and she turned around and she said, you can't have that in here. And I said, who are you talking to? I said, she may not be able to have it and read it, but I can read it as much as I want to. Now you might as well turn around and shut up. I could have used different words, but that's what I said, you know, to her. Because she was, I'm not going into the whole thing. She was extremely rude. She was a Wiccan, dealt in witchcraft and all that kind of stuff. And I was like, you might as well turn, you know, I may hit you with this thing. You may get some Jesus, you know, in you. But a lot of things I wish I could have come back if I was a little bit more sweeter and thought more about how I said that. She may have got saved that day. But I was still in a learning process about how I was going to respond to people about things. Now, I took great offense for her telling me, I know, though, my right that I can take that Bible into that school. You're not going to tell me what I can and cannot do when it comes to my faith, because I know that the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Third and all the rest of those things give me rights for what I can do. And you're not going to take those things away from me. Why do we take it? But we bellyache. We'll have sermons about how Jesus, we need to put Jesus back into Christmas, and he's the reason for the season. We'll never do it with all of us going lockstep behind them. Where's my credit cards at? You know, we celebrate it this way. I got a bunch of them. I work for a bank. You won't, oh, let me get that for somebody to grab it. That one ain't got a lot on it. But we take these things here, and you know how we celebrate? We don't even decorate trees anymore. But we go max these out. Max them out.
Not this year. I didn't use mine, not one.
Hallelujah! I have done something. Let me put these back in here because I may need to go use them by Christmas presents when I get done with this. But we celebrate today because we think we gotta buy our way. We do a lot of swapping of $25 in our offices and stuff like that. That's so stupid. I take my $25 and buy you a gift card to Olive Garden. You take your gift card, your $25, and buy me a gift card to, you know, McDonald's, and we just swap $25. Why don't we all just sit around with $25 and just hand it around to each other? I mean, if I wanted to go to Olive Garden, I'd just go to Olive Garden and take my $25. Why am I going to bring a gift, you know, to be able to do that? That's why on the Christmas party, I would encourage you, now that everybody bring gift cards, that don't make any sense. I want to get me a blanket or something, you know, just let me be shocked, you know, by what I've gotten. But y'all, that's why I'm going in the next 2 weeks that we have after this. We're going to not just read the Christmas story, but we're going to talk about, and I'm going to attempt, as I try to do every year, and I went back to my sermons for the past 5 years and looked at the types of things that I've been teaching. I want you to know what happened, why it happened. Let's be able to defend this holiday. I think, because y'all, I'll be honest with you, I don't care about Christmas. I don't care about the holiday, about the presents and Santa Claus and elves on the shelves and all of that stuff. I really deplore that stuff, to be honest with you. That's my personal opinion. Because it has ruined Jesus' birthday as far as how we celebrate it. It has totally robbed us of what it really is. So no, I don't like it. Now, with that being said, I love the Advent. It is one of the most special things to me. Yes, so is the cross. Yes, is the resurrection. But guess what you never get to if he didn't first come? You don't get there. And the fact our God, talk about so much about he died for us. Our God chose to be born of a human flesh. To when you got slapped, it hurt. When he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. He was thirsty. He felt emotional pain when people turned away from him and people lashed out at him. He went through all of these things that we take antidepressants for today, and he did all of that so he could walk like we did, and he could be the example to us that he was supposed to be, and that he could die in human form and shed blood so that you and I would not be guilty of our sins any longer if we surrendered our heart and life to him. And he did that for us. Now that's what this holiday is about. That's what you ought to be teaching your children. That's the only way we're going to reclaim it, if you get back to the real story. When people come up to me and they say, oh, I got to find these families out here, and we got to pour a bunch of Christmas presents into these children. It doesn't excite me. I want every kid to have something to open up at Christmas. It's fun. My kids do it. I like to get one. You know, I bought a boat, but I thought that was going to be for my Christmas. But give me a little package to rip open, you know, something. It could just be a box. I mean, it's fun. I'm not speaking down. I really am speaking down, but I'm not trying to tell you that it's wrong for us to partake in those things that are fun. We come have a Christmas party here. We don't read the Bible. It's a bunch of fellowship time. Those things are okay to do. But when our fellowship and our entertainment time overtake the true meaning of things, we are wrong. And I want a child to have Jesus Christ more than I want them to have a bunch of toys they're going to be ungrateful for getting in the first place. My kid, they're not getting a whole bunch of toys. They already got a whole bunch of toys. I'm not buying more so they can just open one. We got particular things for them to be able to get. I refuse to go in debt to buy somebody a Christmas present. My mother-in-law cries because she thinks that somebody may have thought that she didn't spend enough money on them. And I got so mad one day at our Christmas gathering. I said, this is ridiculous that you are crying because, I said, if they don't like it, she spent $100 on every single person. I said, if they don't like it, get it back. That's ridiculous. And that you would feel sad about that during this time. Folks, as a banker and as a pastor and teacher, it is the height of craziness to go into debt to celebrate Christ's birth. If you ain't got it, don't spend it. You just walk up to somebody and say, I ain't got it today. And if they don't like it, and if they cry about it, they don't ever talk to you again, you shouldn't be buying a gift for that person in the first place. I'm sorry. Let me tell you how I really feel. Anyway, I do want to end this in a way that takes us to the Bible, because I'm going to take a look at the same scripture we looked at last week in the New Living Translation. This is the only way, folks, that I find that I can turn the tide to where we are in society, and I have been successful in doing this. And it's just exercising the charge that God has given me in my role as a pastor and a teacher. And I want you to take the same charge today. I want you to read this, and this is given to those of us that are ordained ministers and all of that, but I want you to take the principle from what Paul is charging Timothy. I think it applies, the principle applies to every single one of us today. And it says, I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead when he appears to set up his kingdom, preach the word of God. So what does that mean? That means teach your children what the Bible says about Christmas. Make that important in your home. Preach the word of God, which is the truth. I'm going to keep going. Be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. It doesn't matter if it's popular. What I've had to say this morning about Christmas, is it popular? Even amongst you. But I don't care, because I can plainly show you with statistics that this stuff is wrong. It's not popular for us to throw that commercialism stuff away, because Satan has his hold on this kind of stuff here, and he doesn't let go easily, and it riles up in people when you start talking about kids may not get Christmas presents. How many of you remember a story when you didn't get much for Christmas? Raise your hand. Y'all doing all right, aren't you? Good grief. Whether it's favorable or not, preach the word of God and be prepared in those times. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. 4, they will reject the truth and chase after myths. I said last week, we're in that time. I see a great number of people chasing after myths during our Christmas and Easter celebrations, folks. I know you don't like to hear that, but it's good teaching. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Do not, or don't, be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work, and this is what I want you to get right here, these last two sentences. Work at telling others the good news and faithfully carry out the ministry that God has given you. You want to reclaim Christmas? Do those last two things. Do the last two things that it says. Work at telling others the good news and faithfully carry out the ministry that God has given you. And Romans 10, I didn't put this on the screen, but Romans 10, 17, and it's in your notes, it says, so faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. You want somebody to turn around and have faith in Jesus Christ, then you tell them the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. All of the other stuff is absolute trash. Okay? And so, when I want to charge you all as my people to let's do one thing this year. In your celebrations, in the time that you're spending, in the time when you're at the stores, when you're in the bank, when you're talking to people, 90% of the country is celebrating Christmas right now. It's relevant to them. They're thinking about it. It's on their mind. What better time do we have to talk to people about Jesus? When they say happy holidays, you say, you have a Merry Christmas. And they know just by saying that, which is the mass of Christ, they know that you're talking about Christ, okay? Make a difference during this time. Let's make a splash during this time. We may never change those statistics because everything is going into a decline right now, right into the last days. We may not see those tick up, but in your sphere of influence, you can make a difference. You absolutely can change people's minds. I do it every single day when I am working. Somebody sent me a picture the other day of a rainbow, a person that works with me. And they was in a, said, look at this rainbow of Bass Road. And I texted back to that text group of my employees and I said, what's a rainbow mean? And one of my employees shot back, didn't even have time to copy and paste this, shot back with exactly what the Bible says about what the rainbow means. And I thought, yeah. Okay, on there. And it was just a simple thing. They were talking about it because the rainbow has immensely important biblical implications. So during this time, I engage with them. When they start telling me, oh, I don't know, I got to wait for my paycheck. Oh, I go say, what did you say? You ain't got food, but y'all got Tonka trucks at the house? No. No, somebody comes to me, I won't get a loan. Why? Because I'm buying Christmas. No. I can't do that. I can't do that. I had to still apply for that credit card. You can come see me if you want to. Go ahead, because I'm going to give you a lecture. I can promise you that, you know, about it. Have fun, be merry, but take the time, especially with these here, these children. You see that? Train them right. Train them right. What I want my kids to remember this important is giving, not receiving. Okay? So my children are going to give presents to other people. Okay? They may get some things, but they are going to spend time giving to others while they're young. We go to the Ronald McDonald House. We've given presents out there to them. I want them to remember having given and not sit there and think, oh, exactly what toy I'm going to get. Because they're like their daddy. If I want a fishing pole, I'm going to Walmart when I leave. I'm not going to wait till the 25th of December and hope somebody gets me the right one that I want this to, you know, everything like that. I may have to return it and take it back. Money's always the right color and the right size, by the way. But reclaiming Christmas to end. Reclaiming Christmas is going to require that we quit acting like the world. And you need to take a survey with what emphasis do you put during this time? And I know, y'all, that I'm stepping on a bunch of toes, that the main emphasis you are putting and the main stress and anxiety that you're putting on yourself right now is, have I finished my Christmas shopping? And have I gotten everybody everything that they want? And have I spent enough money on the same people and equaled out all of that stuff? And then we get to that holiday and we're so rushed and we're so wore out and tired and broke, and we'll go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And y'all, if that's how we're acting, what do you expect for those people out there? What do you expect the world? And we can't even lead right in our main two holidays. Let's reclaim it by proclaiming the message of Christ. Let's pray. Father God, I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for the scripture that we have read, you know, here late in this message, Father, as Paul is giving that charge that's from you, God, to Timothy, specifically talking about his leadership responsibilities, Father God. But we can take the principles from that is that we are to preach your word, Father God, no matter the circumstances that are around us, Lord, and we're to faithfully discharge our ministry in this world. And every one of us, as we looked at last week, are ministers, Father God, every person in the sound of my voice this morning, Lord, that is saved and has surrendered their heart and life to you. And Father, I pray that during this particular next 3 weeks that we have, that Father, we can minister in such a way that we can reclaim, at least in our sphere of influence, we can reclaim what Christmas is supposed to mean when it comes to us celebrating the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to make that important in our homes. Lord, help us to not be so worried about the commercial side of things, the worldly ways, but Father God, help us to dive into the beauty of what your scripture says, what your word says about this time, that our own God chose to leave his perch in heaven and to live upon this earth just as we have, walk and talk just as we have, and we do every day. And Lord, there is not another religion on the planet that has a God that has humbled themselves in such a way. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us. Jesus, I thank you that you answered that call to be the perfect, sinless lamb, to be sacrificed for the sins of the entire world. We thank you for what you've done. And we are just trying our best to live lives that are worthy of the sacrifice that you've made and to please you in every way. And Lord, just bless each and every one that is here as they leave this place today. Bring us back on Wednesday as we come to study your word, Father God, and keep us safe until that time. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.